Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman in Antigua, where instead of spending the day at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium, I'm at a hotel watching the rainfall.
The West Indies will need just 14 runs to take an unassailable 2-0 lead. Here's Jimmy Anderson. New over, short and pulled away by Campbell for the winning runs. He punches the air in celebration. The West Indies have beaten England by 10 wickets.
West Indies sweeping to a marvellous and unexpected series win in a match where they comprehensively outplayed England. The fallout to that will be long and pretty painful, and with nearly a week until the third and final test, it'll be interesting to see what conclusions have been made with England team management. And what it means is that for the next few days, I will be bringing you a series of Following On specials, beginning today with a listen back to an interview that took place at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium with Sir Vivian Richards himself. So stay tuned for that, and if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe through your favourite podcast app and stay up to date with all the news from England's tour of the Caribbean. You're listening to Following On.
We're still waiting on Viv, and we hope that he's coming to join us. Harmy's pointing out to the middle. Do you think that's Viv?
I think that's Viv to the left as he's walking across the ground with a purpose. That's the king.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, that's the king. Recognise that walk any day.
Oh, he's looking slim and fit, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Unbelievable. Amazing.
Great. Well, he's been brought over by the media manager, so it kind of makes it, yeah, now I see what you mean about the walk now. Yeah, oh my gosh. Brings back memories. Do you bowl much at him?
I did. I bowled a couple of times at Sir Viv. I remember playing one game at Sophia Gardens against Glamorgan, and I was just a young kid. And Peter Hartley, who we were talking about earlier, nicknamed Daisy, bounced him. And his cap swivelled round. And then he put his cap back on. Next ball bounced him again. And he thought, I'm not doing that again. And he hooked it. And I was at on the hook. And I dropped it. I downed it. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. I just dropped the great man, Viv Richards. And then I were bowling the next over. And I bowled one just back of a length. Hit him on the glove. And rolled back and hit the stumps and bowled him. And it was the best feeling ever. Because I'd just got the greatest man that ever played cricket, as far as I'm concerned, as a batsman. And then I managed to get him out again a couple of years later, but I think he got me out more times than I got him out.
Did he get you out?
He did.
Decent off breaks, didn't he? Flat off breaks.
Yeah, I played against him at Middlesbrough. I remember him getting me out there with his skiddy little off breaks, little swingers. He had a few little, a bit like Joe Root bowled in Barbados, actually. It reminded me a bit like Viv Richards.
Okay. Harmy, did you play against him?
No, I didn't. I didn't play against him. My old man played football against him in a benefit game.
Really?
My dad played for Yeovil Town. Well, Viv was at Somerset. Okay. I think Ezra Mosley is a West Indian.
Yeah, Ezra, he could bowl lively, I'll tell you.
Barbadian. Yeah.
Couldn't even get the Barbados side when they were all fit and strong. That's how good Barbados were with quicks in those days. Marshall, Garner, Clark, Mosley, Franklin Stevenson, Wayne Daniel. The big four was Marshall, Garner, Wayne Daniel, Sylvester Clark in one island side. Can you believe it?
Pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I'm kidding. Well, Viv presumably will be climbing the stairs as we speak, so it'd be nice to have a chat with him during lunchtime. I'd be interested to hear his thoughts on just really the art of the game as much as what he makes of the present state in the West Indies and all of that. But I played against him a lot, and he never failed to amaze and surprise and enthral. I mean, one of the most magnetic cricketers ever to have played.
I would love to know how he would bat it on here. So if you can ask him that question, that'd be great. He knows the island well. It's his own stadium.
Okay.
It's a Vivian Richards stadium. So I'd be interested to know how he would play on this, whether he'd go out and attack or whether he would play the way the West Indies show great discipline in this game. To get 306 on that pitch, I thought it was magnificent.
I think the helmet situation as well. He donned the maroon cap, didn't have the helmet on, and to bat, and probably the biggest change in the modern day era of cricket is the helmet introduced into the game. And you know, Viv was somebody, even when helmets were around, he never had one, he never wore one. So it'd be interesting to see if he would put a helmet on this surface.
Well, we've got the chance to ask him because I think he's on his way in. There he is. How are you, brother?
I'm keeping good.
Yeah, you look fit. Still living on the island?
Well, it is. Keep going and coming. Hopefully next week we start the whole PSL stuff in Dubai. So I'm getting myself geared to get in on a flight, a long flight.
You've kept an interesting relationship with the game, haven't you, in that you still have little bits of cricket in your life and also a distance from the game.
Yeah, there are times where you just sort of pick and choose where you think you'd like to be. At 66 years of age now, I think we got to try and take a little control of life, and the hectic stuff at times can be quite grueling. So you try and pick and choose, and when you do such and you get yourself organized, then you can have a rest and start all over again. Mm.
Darren Goff was in. Wanted me to first ask you how you would have batted on this pitch. It's a tricky surface, isn't it?
It's a sort of tennis bunks track. I don't think batting is easy, but when you look at maybe your wicketkeeper, Foulkes, and see how he would have played, I think he played well. There's sometimes you don't quite get your technique right on a certain track that you think may be doing some sort of bunks. It's a good track. It's a competitive track. Why I think it's a competitive track as well. The West Indies, they're 1-0 up to come here, and the fashion in which they would have won in Barbados, certainly that would have pumped the egos and the confidence and everything that's necessary for you to compete. Seeing this here, Holder coming, winning the toss, great deed. Getting England all out for under 200, so sort of set the tone. So to me, when you look at the wicket in Barbados as well, there's a little up and down at times, but guys got in and played well. And the guys who played well were the team that won.
Must be incredibly encouraging for you to see West Indies cricket play with real character.
Oh, it was special, you know, to go to Barbados. And Holder, I think, he's seriously underrated. He's a magnificent player, you know, a serious timer of a cricket ball. He's just special. And just having those guys around him, the Brathwaites, and who is quite steady, and Hope, who I think who's got some substance, Hetmeyer, I think he's special.
He's got a gift.
I love him. Mm-hmm. I love that sort of stuff. The intent, the way in which he picks the bat up. He's not searching, you know. Especially when you're playing spinners, you know, he's picking that bat up with some sort of intent. I'm looking to attack, and if I don't get you on attack, I'm looking to defend. And sometimes as well, a little rash shot here and there. But a lot of substance where talent's concerned, Mark.
So let's go back to the beginning. This little island that you've made famous for cricket and obviously with Andy in the early days. Where did it begin for you? Did you play as a little boy? Was cricket in your family?
Oh, yeah. My father played a lot for Fantiga and Barbuda. And especially when you have a dad, you know, who's quite and pretty knowledgeable as well about the game. That, to me, it's a sort of start. And
strict man, yes, with you?
Very much so, because he was a prison officer. He was in charge of some naughty boys just where we used to play, to the east of the recreation ground at the time, you know, so...
But, I mean, you were wary of him, weren't you?
Oh,
I mean,
very much.
Yeah, he set an example that you were determined to follow.
It's always nice to have a strict dad. You know, so, you know, I believe in that. I'm someone who leads the way, who sets the tone. It is so important. Maybe at that particular time, you never quite relish seeing maybe some of the stern sort of punishment at times. But when you look overall in life, you say to yourself, man, it was worth it, you know.
And Andy talked a bit about the two of you going to England in 1972 to Alf Gover's cricket school in Wandsworth. And he said Alf taught him one thing that he'll never forget, which is the importance of the follow-through in his bowling action. Anything that Alf taught you that you'd think back to?
Well, what I can remember being, I think it was in Putney, we were staying in this little guest house, and you had us to have a lot of 10-pence pieces during before you go to bed, because if you didn't before, certainly you're going to freeze whatever off. But you know,
you mean they were, so the 10-pence pieces were to keep the heating going.
Keep the heating going, right. And it's amazing how quickly.
Had you ever left Antigua before you went to England to the Wandsworth Cricket School or not?
I had left Antigua, maybe small islands, but right. never to Europe, yeah, of such. But it was sort of a rude awakening. I've never seen how quickly 10-pence pieces wore out.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Somerset then, and Ian Botham, that long and fantastic friendship that still exists, and trophies won and cricket played, that really set you up, didn't it, to become the West Indian player that you were. County cricket in those days was a great adventure for you.
Yeah, to me, that was sort of the platform for a lot of our players who had ability, and I think at the time it was just good for me as an individual, learning the various, coming from this sort of a climate here in Antigua and Barbuda, going to England, the different conditions, not just basically about the wickets and things like that, but just how the climate sometimes change in the climate, and you had to get accustomed to things quite quickly. And to me, you know, I've always said that was the platform that for myself, in terms of learning the game and having an understanding on a much wider basis, the professional side of things, it was the environment to be in.
And suddenly you were in England for two incredible years, 1975 in the World Cup, when you ran out three big Australian players, not least the Chappell brothers, which quite a useful job done, and then 76, when you had your golden year. You made more than 1,700 runs in the year and laid England to waste in test matches all around the country, not least making 291 at the Oval. I mean, they were 2 years of your life that presumably you remember as freshly now, almost as if they happened.
I remember, personally, 1976. Why? Because it was sort of a Caribbean weather. Yeah, I became accustomed to having been accustomed to that sort of climate and getting it away from home. You know, it's just perfect. You know, it was pretty parched summer. You know, you could see the outfield itself lack sort of rain, and all the stuff which made England cricket grounds look as beautiful as anything else, you know, but it was lacking in 1976, and the wickets, though, they were pretty good, and I enjoyed that particular series more than anything else, because I would say it was my better series, because of just the way in which consistently hit the ball. That was certainly my better series.
Your record speaks for itself. Your legend continues. Many people consider you to be, if not the greatest, amongst the greatest two or three batsmen that have played the game. What would you say were your strengths? You had enormous mental strength.
Yeah, that's the stuff which I try and generate to players these days, because when you look at players around the world, and sometimes I think some of these coaches do overcoach at times. Sometimes a lot of things play, regardless of how well you are as a player, the techniques and all the sort of stuff which you may have. But there's sometimes the place where I think things happen more than anything else, where you as a player have to make a particular decision, whether it's this way or that particular way. And when I speak about this way or that way, it's all about maybe the little demons which goes on in one's mind, and sometimes it's not all good that's coming out.
Even you suffered insecurities,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah, it's not all good, Mark. So you've got now to that resistance.
I wish I'd known that all those years ago.
Yeah, you know. So you have all that little stuff, but then you overcome that because you know that you need a balance here, a balance which you need in order for you to be comfortable and confident going out. You've got to overcome those fears, and that's where I think the mental side of things sometimes clicks in.
Mm. What was the one thing you thought about when the bowler ran in?
Oh, my first time is looking to attack. I've always felt if I'm having or giving information to or having the opportunity to give young players any batting information, it's your tent. You're looking to score first. Because sometimes the other way around, when you're looking to defend, you are in such a defensive mode at times that you forget when you get a bad delivery. You do not quite treat it the way it should be treated. So this is why I love Ahmed Maher, because his first intent, I'm looking to hurt you early, and if I don't, I'm looking to defend. That's the style, I think. That's a positive sort of attitude in my opinion.
Do you ever play against a bowler that you were wary of?
Yeah. But you don't let them know that.
No.
You don't let them.
You can let me know that now.
No, yeah, there's a lot of guys out there that who never played Test match cricket, but in county cricket, they catch you on these little wickets and
little seam.
They're the kings, man. There's a guy from Worcester, I think, around that time, Phil Newport.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was pretty bottom, special, yeah. Like that, and then all of a sudden they get elevated to Test match cricket. And find it a little tough, you know. But there are little guys like that in the smaller games, the lesser games, who are very troublesome.
And you never batted in a helmet. We know that. You played your whole career with the maroon cap of the West Indies or the cap of Antigua or Somerset.
Well,
with Morgan on your head.
Tell me something, Mark. Don't you think? Am I going to get something extra for that? I'd love something extra for that. Because to be fair, you know, when you look and you see all the protection these days. Wow, I'm looking back and saying, hey, Viv, you must have been mad, mad.
But not, because you watched the ball closer. So you made sure your eye was never taken off it, and that probably set you up well and took you to the right position to play the ball.
That I think is important. Maybe when you have on too much of a suit of armor, you sometimes become a little complacent, where you feel sometimes you're not a hooker. And all of a sudden you start hooking and things like that. Things just certainly out of your comfort zone.
And if you think back to the quick bowlers, Thompson and Lilly were your greatest opponents, do you think? Your hardest opponents?
Yeah, the Pakistanis.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can't forget
Imran,
the Pakistanis. And you can never ever forget Bob Willis. You know, Bob Willis, I think I had him up there with them in terms of quicks. You don't get over 300 wickets at that particular time without having something, you know, and I think Bob was up there.
Now, do you remember an innings at Southampton for Glamorgan against Hampshire when you made 180 to win a county game?
I'll tell you something, man. I went in to have a drink after with the late Malcolm Marshall, our very special friend. And I looked at his face, man, and normally he would have a drink with me, man, but I felt I hurt him that day. I hurt him big time that day.
You hurt us all real bad.
I looked at his face, man, and I could see, man, Malcolm wasn't in the best of mood. I said, Viv, you better go and get your shower.
I'm just going to tell everybody
how... And get on out of there.
I'll tell you how this finished off, okay? We get to the last over of the match, Glamorgan 8 down, Viv on strike to Malcolm Marshall. And I said to Malcolm Marshall, let Viv have a single, we put everybody back, you've then got five balls at Metzen and Barwon, we'll probably win the game. Well, Viv hit the first ball through extra cover off a good length so hard that two of the best fielders I've ever seen, Paul Terry and Robert Smith, barely moved a muscle on the boundary board. He hooked the second one over the flats. We never saw the ball again. And he hit the third one wide of mid-on like a tracer bullet. You could see the burning of the turf. 14 to win, completed in three balls against the greatest fast bowler in the world. And you came to me, you took your hand out of your glove, you shook my hand, you said, great declaration, Captain, let's go have some beers.
Yeah, you were always a guy who, because there was nothing happening in the game, you know, but the only one thing which I think went against you that day, that's put in sort of a declaration, was that you had a Viv there, you know.
You were there, man, we had a Viv there. And you still think, as you look back, Marshall, the best you saw?
Yeah, I've worked with him... Andy, first of all, I've always felt Andy was very, very special. But maybe because I would have worked with Malcolm over a number of years and had the best of him, he would have been my go-to guy.
Right. Now, what do you want to see from England this afternoon? Because you have an affection for English cricket. You want to see West Indies cricket back on track. But you do want to see something.
What did you say, but from well, English cricket? What are you talking about? From English cricket? No. You should have, what do you want to see from Gabriel and Holder? Because to be fair, I think it's a handy lead. And anyone knows at this particular level, especially on a dicey track, if that's in your mind, you're thinking, wow, I've got to erase this stuff earlier. The West Indies, I think, would come out now refreshed after a little bit before lunch. And then after lunch, I think it's going to be a good match. England's got to, they've come up against the West Indies this time out, who are playing much better. And I think they are shocked. I think they're shocked. They didn't come here and expect this. And after what would have taken place in Barbados, they're under the pump, man. Great to see as a West Indian and as captain.
I think that a lot of people in cricket are pleased. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to a man voted one of the five cricketers of the 20th century. Sir Donald Bradman, Sir Gary Sobers, Sir Jack Hobbs, Sir Viv Richards and Shane Warne, the five. Warne has always said, I'm the only one who hasn't got a knighthood. I said, there's lots of reasons for that.
I think he's still working at it, you know.
Viv, it's a joy to see you. Fantastic, looking so fit and well and happy. You're still everybody's hero.
Great to see you, Mark, man. I've always liked your style, you know. I remember when you were captain for Hampshire, you had a little suave about you, you know. The way you used to come to the crease and you were sort of
Move
shots
on.
Man as well, you know.
I did play some shots.
Yeah, you like that.
Didn't quite have your swagger. Master, thank you. Bless you for coming to chat to us. Ladies and gentlemen, Sir Vivian Richards.
This has been Following On, and on tomorrow's show, you will hear from Steve Harmison and Jarrah Kimber, who went back to the Antigua Recreation Ground to find out what had happened to the place in the 10 years since Harmy last played there. To never miss an episode, be sure to subscribe either on Apple Podcasts or your favourite podcast app. See you tomorrow.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.